Two or no Ham and Eggers, Krish and Keith on WEEI.
Well, Nate, the hot spot right now is at the bottom of the top 10. Specifically, the Lions at 7 and the Panthers at 8 have been fielding a lot of phone calls. So who's calling to move up? The Patriots have been calling around in the top 10. And teams that have gotten those calls believe that their target would be Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields. Now, it would cost the Patriots a lot to move from 15 up to 7 or 8, probably something in the region of a second-round draft pick. That is a small price to pay if New England sees an opportunity to land a potential franchise quarterback.
So that is Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network with the whole, well, New England will be doing this to get their quarterback.
They're moving up.
We're only a couple days away from actually now finally knowing whether the first round will turn into a fruitful search for a quarterback for the New England Patriots. WEEI's coverage of the NFL draft presented by Zuti. Build any application your company needs in 1 week. Get your free trial today. Visit Zuti.com for details. Marcus Spears of ESPN is getting loaded up on the old hotline right now. Of course, he is a part of the crew at Get Up, and he's actually going to be a part of the draft coverage. It's unfortunate the poor guy's got to go to Cleveland, for God's sakes, to be able to go to the draft. But Marcus Spears joins us on the Harbor One hotline. Marcus, Gresh, and Keefe here in Boston, and let's just jump right into this, man, right? Like, you played for Bill Parcells. You knew how Bill Parcells would run a team. I don't think Bill Belichick is that far off. We've seen you sit on set and argue with people left and right as to whether the New England Patriots are going to sacrifice all this stuff to move up to go get a quarterback who might not even start for them this year. Let's just go with this, Marcus. Is Bill Belichick going to break his own draft strategy this year, or is this all nothing more than just verbal fluff?
I don't believe it's verbal fluff, fellas, and it's hard for me to say that because between Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells, and playing for Nick Saban, these guys like to operate in known. They don't like to operate in unknowns. They want to have a clear plan. They want to know the execution of that plan and how they're going to get it done. And we all know the draft is a crapshoot. You're on the phone. If they've identified a quarterback that they think can be the guy for the future, because Bill Belichick is not looking for a guy to come suffice for 2 or 3 years, and then they's trying to figure out who the next guy is, or can this dude really play, or dealing with the thought process of a fifth-year option, should we do this or not? That is not the type of player he's looking for at the QB spot. But if he's identified that he could potentially get a Justin Fields or a Trey Lance, and these guys can change their trajectory at the QB spot with everything that they've done this offseason, with the signings of free agents and bringing guys back like Van Noy and solidifying his defense and locking in, then I think we'll see him change his stripes, man. Because the one thing that people don't talk about enough, and I can't wait to talk about it all week, the reason why Bill Belichick has been a great coach, obviously having Tom Brady helps, but he's had the ability to evolve, fellas. He's figured it out. Do y'all remember the year he went and got Randy Moss and they threw for 9 million yards? Do y'all remember when he signed LeGarrette Blunt and they were a two-headed monster in the backfield because he knew that's what they needed to make a Super Bowl run? Do y'all remember going to Kansas City and Sony Michel being drafted that year, being dominant out of the backfield? Bill Belichick evolves. He gives Josh McDaniels leeway, but there's some input put in on offensive strategy and mindset and mentality. He's building this team again in his image, and that's why you can never count it out. And that's why even that team last year that wasn't really good won 7 games because Bill Belichick is the best to ever do it on this level. I think if he's identified the QB, he's strategizing, trying to figure out how to make this as a sure thing as possible if he can go up and get one of these guys. And maybe Cam does play this year. Maybe Cam is back, reinvigorated, not dealing with COVID, not dealing with an offseason where he wasn't able to get up to speed on what they want to do and kind of being behind the eight ball. Maybe that's a year, whole placeholder, and maybe you get some good football because of all of the things that you've done in free agency. But if Justin Fields and Trey Lance is there and reachable and attainable, and that's that draft grade they have on them, or that perception is they can make New England, put them right back in another run, put them right back in that division with Josh Allen and what we see happening in Miami, you better believe he's going to do it, because he's a great coach and the great ones have evolved. Y'all remember Nick Saban hired Lane Kiffin and threw for 1 million yards in one season? That ain't what Nick Saban wanted to do, but he knew if he was going to win the national championship, that's what he had to do. Mark, I don't think Bill Belichick is far away from that.
Now, you hit on Cam Newton in there, and I'm curious, do you think it was just the, he didn't have good receivers, he got COVID, and he didn't have an offseason? The guy also threw 8 touchdowns in 15 games. I'm wondering how much better do you think it could possibly be this year if he ends up having to be the starter?
Yeah, fellas, listen, I think Cam's ceiling is middle of the pack, right? Like, and that's hard to say because we all know what Cam Newton has been in the NFL. And at one time, Cam Newton was the best thing going in the NFL. But injuries, and if he has to be a guy that's going to operate down in, down out from the pocket, that's not where he lies. That's not where his success lies. And look, I've been on television. I wanted Cam to have all of the success in the world because I looked at the workout videos. He looked like a man child, like he was ready to come do work in the NFL. And obviously COVID played into that and all of the things that transpired with the pandemic. But Cam didn't look good. Like, y'all know me. If y'all have ever watched me, I ain't gonna lie. Cam looked terrible. Cam looked good against the Seattle Seahawks. He looked okay against the Buffalo Bills before the fumble. The team, they had a chance to win that. But from an athletic standpoint, the suddenness wasn't there. It looks like he's struggling every time he's throwing the football. So I don't know. I wish I could tell you guys. I know I'm supposed to be an expert and I'm an analyst and I'm watching tape. Cam didn't look good last year. But I don't know if it's because all of the time off, the injuries, I don't know if he can come back from that and create an atmosphere in New England where he could turn that team around and be the guy that they need. That's why I'm saying if Trey Lance is there or Justin Fields is there and you think those guys are the younger, better throwing version of Cam Newton and can take you into the future, you absolutely go get them. If I thought Cam was going to return to Cam, I wouldn't be talking about drafting the quarterback.
ESPN NFL analyst Marcus Spears, you see him on NFL Live and Get Up. He will be a part of the draft coverage in Cleveland with us here on Gresh and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Marcus, from a former player standpoint, how much is this another wonky offseason in terms of OTAs and gathering guys outside of the traditional football season? How much is that going to slow the development of certain teams? Because here, if it's, Cam's going to readjust, you got these tight ends, you add the wide receivers, but they might not be together until July. Is that a big deal in terms of this team coming together and getting right, if it is Cam?
If we were not living in this age of football, I say it's an issue. But you guys know as well as me, man, these dudes get together in the off season. They get timing. Y'all know damn well they go around the NFL with the rules and they figure out a way to implement their playbook and plans, and coaches are on the phone. Like, let's not kid ourselves, right? Everybody is looking for a competitive advantage, not just the New England Patriots, every team in the NFL. So even if it's mandatory voluntary is what we used to say when I played, these guys are taking it upon themselves now to get together and figure out how they work together, who they like, building those relationships. So last year was a conundrum, man, because you had so many varying factors of not being able to get together, facilities not being open, the threat of COVID. But now with vaccines, now with the ability to test and find out a day later or even hours later, I think these guys are going to be able to get together and figure out who they are, what they want their identity to be, how they work together on their own. And kudos to them, man, for doing it. Like, pro, you know, quarterbacks and receivers and tight ends, they've been doing this forever. They've been getting together, but now you get concepts. You get what you actually are going to do on Sundays. You get these young guys and these free agents that you brought in. They get together in California in some nice weather, and they throw on air. They figure out how to get competitive. And by the time they get to training camp, they've already built some type of relationship. at least the good ones. And I firmly believe that that's what most of these teams are going to do. Now, if you're drafting a rookie quarterback and he's going to have to be the guy, that may be a little bit more tougher because these guys have to figure out, number one, what team they're going to go to and who they're going to be working with. But for these veteran teams that's been together or these free agents that are veterans that's coming in, they'll figure out a way to get together so they can get a head start on this season.
Marcus, as a former first-round pick yourself, what do you make of the draft process and, you know, the months leading up to the draft where there are no games being played, and yet guys' stock rises and falls like crazy? I'm always fascinated by how someone like Mac Jones all year long was a second-round pick or whatever, and then now all of a sudden he's the third overall pick, and they haven't played games in months, and yet these guys are going to jump maybe 50 spots or sink 50 spots without any games. So what do you make of how the teams in the league evaluate players at this time of the year?
In the respect of the FAA, it's a boo-boo show. Now, y'all know what other word I want to use. Man, listen, going through that draft process, man, when you're playing and the season is coming to a close in your college season, you're the greatest thing that's ever happened to football. And then 2 weeks later, as the evaluations go, and Mel and Todd and Matt Miller and all of the pundits, Bucky Brooks, all of these guys start doing mock after mock after mock and evaluation after evaluation. And they talking to GMs and they talking to guys around teams or even some coaches or scouting departments. Guys start to slip and fall. But I ain't going to believe it. Listen, man, I ain't believing Mac Jones going third overall. I ain't going to believe it until it happens. I'm not going to believe that you gave up two first round picks to jump up to three to draft Mac Jones and you already got Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not going to believe it until I see it. Now, I'm not going to even look like a fool if they do it. I'm going to just say, okay, now I believe it. It's done. The card is turned in and they done it.
I like it.
I just ain't there. I'm not there yet. And then you look at Justin Fields all year long in college, man, second best quarterback. Hmm. Even the previous year, it's going to be him and Trevor Lawrence who go fight for the first. Now, we don't know if Justin Fields – I'm being facetious. We don't even know if he's going in the first round no more based on what everybody's talking about. So, yes, man, to your point, like it's a crapshoot. I had teams tell me I was the worst football player ever going through the draft process. I had teams tell me I was the greatest thing and I was going to be able to change the franchise from a defensive standpoint. So, to answer your question directly, everybody lying. Ain't nobody telling the truth except the Jacksonville Jaguars. And potentially, we think the New York Jets were taking BYU quarterback. But outside of that, when you get to number three, this draft about to become hell, man. And I'm here for it. I love it. Y'all know I love chaos. Y'all know I love fighting. And when this draft starts and San Francisco is on the clock, and if they turn that card in and they say Mac Jones, I am going to have a fit. I'm not happy for Mac Jones. Not because that's not what San Francisco wanted to do, but in no draft in the history of drafts has Mac Jones looked like the third overall pick. But it's 2021. We're just coming out of damn pandemic. YOLO.
Marcus Spears of ESPN, man. He'll be a part of the NFL coverage out there in Cleveland.
Right there.
That is great. Marcus, thanks for the hot fire, man. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we catch up with you down the road. Thanks a bunch.
Absolutely, fellas. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Marcus Spears. Oh, he is making all the Mac Jones haters just happy. Shime was rubbing he got the peanut butter out. I thought the shirt was coming off.
Shime's talking to him right now, see if they can be best friends. see how that goes. That was a great spot. I like Marcus Spears. It's the first time I've ever had a
The reason we don't give the phone numbers of the guests to Shime, because he'll text Daniel Jeremiah at like 3 in the morning about some interior detail.
John once gave me a phone number with the caveat that I have to delete it as soon as we give him a call.
I like that, though. Spears is very much in the Shime. Mac Jones is not third overall pick, and that's even a Saban guy. You know, Spears played
for Saban at LSU.
You would think maybe he's like, oh, this guy.
Spears is unaffiliated other than his own opinion, I very much appreciate.
Yep,
I'm with you on that. A great UFC card went down on Saturday night in front of a full house, and a gruesome injury to a future UFC Hall of Famer next.